Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come before you today at times desperate. Desperate for your guidance, desperate for your love, desperate for your peace. But we know that you are the ultimate giver of all those things. You are we crown you with the crown of peace, the crown of life, the crown of love. And this morning, as we sit back and listen to the pastor bring the word, bring the message that he's prepared all week, we ask that you put your guiding hand on him and open our hearts so that we may be transformed by what we hear today. It is in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
Amen. Guys, what have y'all done to me? There we go. All right. The reason we turned the light on so you can read your Bible. How many got your Bible today? Hallelujah. Look at that. Old school. I like it. Before we get started, this is Passover weekend. Did y'all know that? Yeah. Did you see the full moon last night? This is Passover weekend, and next weekend's Easter. It's going to be a big, big week. Dwight Dixon picked up some signs, Easter signs. Easter is all about Jesus. He got 25 of them, and he just wants you to get one as you go out the door today. Just don't forget, grab you an Easter sign. I've got one in my yard. Just go ahead and get radical in your neighborhood and just let everybody know Jesus is the reason for Easter, all right? It's not about the Easter bunny, hallelujah. It's about Jesus. So, having said that, we're going to be in Sunday school, we're going to be talking about, you know, the Palm Sunday and the events of Palm Sunday and what all happened then. Children are going to be talking about that. The adults are going to be talking about that. So we're enjoying the Lord's table this morning. And so I thought I'd preach a little bit on the Lord's Supper. And if you have a copy of God's Word in whatever copy you've got it on, whether it's some kind of high-tech device or just an old-school Bible, would you stand as we honor the reading of God's Word? We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I want to start there at verse 23. We're going to go through the end of the chapter this morning, but let me start there. That's a good place to start. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say, hold on, Pastor. I hope you're holding on to Jesus. Amen. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. You can't give away what you don't first have. Oh, come on, y'all. That's good truth right there. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. I love Pastor J.D. Justice. Did y'all know J.D. pastored New Faith Baptist Church for 7 years, and then he retired, or thought he was going to retire, and he came down here and we put him to work. J.D., ask God to bless the reading and the teaching and the preaching of his word, would you?
Father God, we come before you today and thank you for that beautiful day that you've given us today. Father, as we look into your word this morning, Father, we pray that you open our hearts, open our minds, Father, that we would be receptive to what your word is telling us, Father. We'll be obedient to you and do what you are calling us to do, Father. Pray for all of your children, Lord, in your word today. For those, Father, that may be here that are not your children, we pray today.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Please be seated. Psalm, I believe it's 139 and verse 16, says that all the days of our lives are fashioned for us. In other words, God has numbered the days of our lives even before we were born. Did you know that? And let me just recognize some very important people in this church. If you are 70 years of age, would you, or older, would you please stand? Come on, stand up. Look at here. Now, y'all keep standing. Now, Psalm 90, keep standing. Don't fall out on me. Psalm 90 and verse 10 tells us that the majority of folks get 70 years. But if you're extra blessed, you get 80. Those of you that are 80 years, not quite 80s, please sit down. Those of you that are 80 years and older, keep standing. Extra blessed. Hallelujah. And those of you that are 90, everybody else sit down. Who we got that's 90? Right here. Martha, when your 90th birthday happens, you tell me, because we're going to sing happy birthday to you too. All right? Two more weeks. Well, you're just going to have to wait. Now, let me ask you this question. How many of you would like to be weak, sick, or dead? Well, that's a dumb question, isn't it? Well, you know what I found out? A lot of believers wind up with some illness or sickness, and they go to the doctor, and they don't get healed from their illness and sickness and weak, whatever it is. Partially because the doctor can't figure out what's wrong. And according to this text, this passage of Scripture we're looking at this morning, there are a lot of believers who are weak, sick, and have even passed away because they did not heed the healing instructions of the Lord's Supper. And so for a little while this morning, I'd like us to consider how the Lord's Supper, communion, is a time of healing for us. I want to use for a subject the meal that heals. The meal that heals. Now, before we get into the meat of the message, I need to kind of set the table. We're going to sit down here with the Lord at His table today. And by the way, it's His table, not my table. And it's not your table. It's His table. What you need to understand is that God's people have always been in what we call a blood covenant with Him. A blood covenant from Abel to Abraham, from the tabernacle to the temple, from Calvary to communion, God's people have been in a blood covenant with Him. Now, there's two types of blood covenants in the Scriptures. One of those is found in Genesis 15 when Abraham entered into a blood covenant with God. And how they did that was they would get a bull, an oxen, a goat, a lamb, and a ram, and all kinds of animals, and even turtle doves. And they would split those animals in half. They'd cut them in half. And they would separate them about 2.5-3 feet apart. And then the two agreeing parties would walk through those animal halves on the blood-soaked ground, entering into a covenant with one another. And that's what Abraham did with God, a blood covenant. But there's also another. Now, that's found in Genesis 15. If you want to go to 1 Samuel 20, you can look at what's called a friendship covenant. And that's when two people wanted to enter into a lifetime relationship, lifetime covenant with one another. And what they would do, they would take a knife and they would slit their palms, their hands, and then they would join hands together. And when the blood began to commingle, they would enter into a lifetime friendship, a friendship covenant. And of course, the scars on their hands were visible reminders that they were in a friendship covenant. Well, Having said all of that, let me say this. We are in a blood covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have entered into that covenant relationship with Him through His precious, sinless, spotless blood. Amen? And 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. How many of you know His blood is more precious than the blood of bulls and goats and lambs? His blood sanctifies. His blood satisfied God's wrath for our sin. And then, of course, the scars are still on Him. How many of you know Jesus is your BFF? He's your friend forever. Hallelujah. So look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm in a blood covenant with Jesus. All right, now we're ready for the outline. Y'all got your little outline notes? These are not, Holy Ghost filled, but the scripture that we're reading is. So let's take a look at this. First of all, I want to say that communion, the Lord's Supper, whatever you call that, is... there's some tremendous truths here for us. But communion, first of all, is symbolic of the new covenant that we're in. Did you see what Jesus said there in verse 25? This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now, God had prophesied this new covenant that was coming in Jeremiah 31, 31. He said, I am going to ordain a new covenant. I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people. And I'm going to forgive all your iniquity, and I'm going to remember your sins no more. We are under a new blood covenant now as the people of God. Now, it's not new in kind, but hallelujah, it's new in quality. It's not new in kind, but it's new in what? Quality, that's right. And so we come to this table, we come to communion because it's symbolic of the blood, the new covenant, the blood covenant that we're in. And by the way, we come to this table not because of our works, but because of His grace. Not a one of us is worthy, but because of His great grace, because Jesus shed His blood for you and for me, we have entered into a new relationship with Him. We are all my sins are under the blood. Hallelujah. Do you understand who you are? Some of y'all don't get it. You are a special called out child of God. All of your sins have been forgiven. Past, present, and future. God will never again haul you into His courtroom and shout, guilty, it's back to hell you go. No, Jesus paid for your sins. That's why He said, it is finished. Are you thankful for the new covenant today? Woo! How am I doing, Teen Challenge boys? We're doing all right. Glad to have y'all back with us. And so communion, first of all, is symbolic of this new covenant that we're under, but there's more here. Are you ready for this? Communion is symbolic of the body and the blood of Jesus. Let me read that again. He says up there in verse 24, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, He took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so communion, the Lord's Supper, is symbolic of the body and the blood of Jesus. Y'all know that. I mean, as we partake of the bread, that's symbolic of the broken body of Jesus. And as we partake of the cup, that's symbolic of the blood of Jesus. And let me just say this. We don't believe that we are eating the literal body of Christ. We don't believe that we're drinking the actual blood of Jesus Christ, but we are drinking in the benefits that happened on the cross and in the tomb. When you sit down at the table, we're drinking in those benefits. And so the body, let me just talk about the body of Christ. Do you not understand what He went through for us? Man, He was beaten and bruised and bloodied. His body was just a mess. Isaiah tells us that after they finished with Him, he looked more like an animal than He did a man. His beard was plucked out. His face was swollen. He's bleeding from the nose. I mean, he was a mess. His body. Now, TP, y'all had a setter service last couple weeks ago. And the bread, I'm assuming, was unleavened, and it was striped and pierced, right? And so as we sit down today, this bread is, you know, we need to get some real Passover bread. But the Jewish people are eating Passover bread that's unleavened, and it's got stripes on it, and it's been pierced. Where did that come from? Well, I'm glad you asked. Listen to Isaiah. Listen to this powerful scripture in Isaiah chapter 53. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Watch this. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's just some of you folks that come from a different background are saying, oh, that's just Old Testament stuff. Well, listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Yeah. Healing. And so as we partake of the bread, that great Passover bread today, just remember that he was bruised for our iniquities, that the stripes on his back were for our healing. Oh, I thank God for Jesus today. But what about the cup? What about the juice? Well, I'm glad you asked again. The cup is symbolic of the blood of Jesus. As we, now, there are some faith groups that believe this turns into the actual blood. I don't believe that. But it is symbolic of the blood that Jesus shed for us. And I was at the Passion Play last night, and I was so glad to hear Dr. Larry Robertson shout, he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. All sin. 1 John 1:9. That's the most worn out verse in my Bible. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And don't you know? We don't get it. But back in the old days, in the Bible days, in order for you to be forgiven of your sin, you had to have a representative go to God for you. And you had to take an animal to be sacrificed. And guess what you had to do? Over and over and over again. Because you just kept sinning. But when Jesus laid down his life and shed his sinless, perfect, spotless, atoning blood, we don't need another sacrifice. He is the sacrifice. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and the Lord Jesus has washed it white as snow. So as we sit down at this table today, you just remember that the Lord's table, as we partake of the bread and the cup, is symbolic of the body and the blood of Jesus. And what did Jesus say? He didn't say, remember my birth. What did he say? Remember my death. Do this in remembrance of me. Somebody asked, we were talking about how many times we do the Lord's Supper. Nothing in Scripture about how many times to partake of the Lord's Supper. It just says, whenever you do it in remembrance of me. Give God praise today. Hallelujah. Here's the truth I wanted to get to. Communion is not only symbolic of the new covenant that we're under, and it's not only symbolic of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus, but it is symbolic of healing truth. Now, watch this. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11. Now, let's look at verse 27. Therefore, now, I've told y'all many times, whenever you see the word therefore, what are you supposed to ask? What's therefore, therefore? Okay? Therefore, whoever eats this bread, what bread? Passover bread, communion bread, or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, we don't come to the table because of our works. I've already mentioned this. We come to this table because of His grace. But none of us is worthy to come. None of us. We're all unworthy. But thank God for Jesus and what He did for us. And because of what He did, we can come into His presence and we can come to His table and dine with Him and fellowship with Him. But we're not worthy, but He is. Hallelujah. And well, let me put it like this. There are some things that you need to do before you come into His presence at the table. Are y'all ready for this? Watch this. But verse 20, 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Before we come to the table today, if there's any unconfessed, unrepented sin in your life, you need to get that issue right with Him. Or else you'll be guilty. You'll crucify the Lord all over again. You'll be guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. And so we're to examine our hearts. We're to search our hearts and ask God, is there anything between me and you? Is there any sin in my life that I have to keep confessing day after day after day? Well, if that's the case, then you haven't repented. You haven't turned from, you haven't forsaken that sin. You see, one of the reasons Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper is to keep us holy and to keep us pure. And you had folks at the church in Corinth showing up drunk at the Lord's table. You had folks in sin, sexual sin, and they're showing up at the Lord's table. And He said, this is the reason you have not examined your heart and judged your sin, and you haven't confessed those sins and repented of those sins, and now you're guilty of crucifying the Lord all over again. We don't want to do that this morning. And so let me ask you a question. Before you come, we're going to have an altar call here in just a minute, and you're going to have an opportunity to get everything right. And God will tell you, listen, folks, God's big enough to point out sin in my life. And He does. Is there any unforgiveness or bitterness in your heart towards someone? Is your heart filled with jealousy and envy about someone else? Has your tongue spread gossip this week about a brother or sister in the Lord? You see, that's what this table's for, to examine our hearts and see if there be any unfaithful way in me. Or you'll be guilty. And by the way, I'm thankful that Jesus is the judge. And He can point out the things that are wrong in my life. And He does that from time to time. And so before I got here this morning, you know what I did? I said, Lord, tell me, show me. If there's something that's not right with you, I want to get it right. You better deal with the sin in your life. I love you enough to tell you that. Well, I just can't forgive you, so I just won't partake of the supper. Oh, really? Did you see what happened to these folks? Many of them were weak. Some of them were sick, and some of them had even died. You see, God wants us to be cleansed and to be made whole. This is a foreshadowing of what the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so let's get these issues right with Him. Can I just tell you? I know some folks. I was in a former church, and they treated their pastor awful. Wouldn't follow his leadership. Just did him wrong. And some of those young guys that were doing that in their 30s and 40s all died. Let me tell you, Jesus didn't get away with your sin. What makes you think you can? That's why we sit down here at this table to get those issues right with God. And then you can, man, sit down with pure, undefiled, tremendous fellowship and relationship with Him. Listen, folks, this isn't some playground that we're on. This is a battleground. And we've got to deal with the stuff in our life that keeps us from the Lord. So whatever it is, I love Psalm 139. It's my favorite psalm in the book of Psalms. And that scripture says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." Whatever it is, let's get those issues right with Jesus today before we sit down here at the table. Deal with the stuff that God wants you to deal with. If you've got any, whatever it is, you don't need me to point it out. God can. And let's get those issues right with Him. Father, before we sit down here at your table, we've got to get the things right with you that you want. So God, help us all right now. Help us all right now, Father, to turn from anything that's not your best. Oh God, speak to each one of us. Speak to each one of us, God, about the stuff in our lives. Maybe it's apathy. Maybe it's unconcern. Maybe it's lack of witnessing. Whatever it is, God, you point it out to us, and we're going to judge the sin in our life because we need healing. We need the meal that heals. Thank you for the one who's at the head of the table this morning. Andrew's going to play, and just stand quietly to your feet, and the altar's open now. This is a time to prepare for the Lord's Supper. Just come on. This is an altar of prayer. The Lord's table's here in the middle, but we've got plenty of room for you. You just come on. Just step out and come on, y'all. Just bring your family. If there's issues that you've got, man, God's here. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe your testimony's like Sue Brown. I'm not as close to the Lord as I used to be. Well, who moved? It sure wasn't Him. The altar's open. Got seats available on the front. If you need prayer, you just come. Now, Father, as we enter into a time of celebrating communion together with you, we do remember your death and all that you went through for us. We do remember that empty tomb because we now have life, life everlasting. And Father, make us holy. Make us pure. Touch us today, God. As we sit down here at this table, there are people all over this room that need healing. This is the meal that heals, because Jesus is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. So God, touch us. By His stripes we are healed. We believe in healing. Spiritual healing, first and foremost. Physical healing, emotional healing, relational healing, social healing. All healing comes from You, Father. And we just come in agreement and say, thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name. As Andrew continues to play, just be seated as our deacons come forward. As our deacons come forward and prepare the Lord's Supper. Say just a word. We invite every born again blood washed believer. You don't have to be a member of Second Mile Church, but you had better be saved. And you need to be baptized. That's an area of disobedience if you haven't done that. But in that case, we would invite anyone and everyone to sit down at the Lord's table with us, if you followed the instructions of the Word of God. This is not a time for your children that aren't saved. They have something to look forward to. And by the way, as the children of God, we've got something to look forward to, because we're going to sit down at another table with the Lord. Hallelujah. And so we're going to pray over the bread and the cup here. We've got a little communion cup that's got both of those elements in it. I think the bread's in the top and the juice is in the cup. And so we're going to ask first that Dick Littleton ask God to bless the bread as we partake it here in just a minute.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, You loved us enough that Your body was broken for us so brutally. Thank You, Lord.
Thank You. Hallelujah. Okay, guys. We'll come back and ask y'all to pray over the cup in just a minute. Y'all go ahead. Go ahead. All right. The scripture says, take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. Eat. Father, thank You for Your body, the glorified body now of Jesus. And He still bears those glorious wounds by which He surrendered to Your will. Thank You, Lord. And now as we partake of the cup, as we heard, it's symbolic of the shed blood of Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Thank God for the shed blood of Jesus. Daniel, ask God to bless as we partake of the cup.
Dear Heavenly Father, by Your blood, we are saved. And You live a spotless, sinless life, Lord. You did it perfectly. Your love and grace for us, Lord. You still have your love.
All right. This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. Drink. Let me read verse 26. This is such a blessing. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. He's coming again. Hallelujah. Give him praise in the house today. Hallelujah.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.